Thank you for tuning into the Walk in Truth Radio Network. Stay tuned for an encouraging word from Pastor, Teacher Dr. James Sutton. Let's see what Pastor Sutton has to say to us today.
Amen. You go with your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And as we fly through this, the Lord keeps opening up more light to me to pay attention to. It's kind of, and what is hard for any time that you're dealing with something that's so sensationalized, it's hard for you not to fall into that trap also. What I mean by that is we've been talking about the spiritual gifts, right? And a lot of people get caught up in the sensationalism of the spiritual gift. They try to put the spiritual gifts in a hierarchy. And just because God gives you in his word the spiritual gifts, let's not all remember all the spiritual gifts have a singular purpose. And we don't spend enough time emphasizing the purpose of the gift that is given to you. Sometimes what happens because we get caught up in the sensationalism of today, we think the spiritual gift is the person. But you are a gift, but the spiritual gift that the Holy Spirit gives you is for the body. And it's so easy to begin, as God works through you, to begin to think you are the gift. It's just like drinking something through a straw. The straw is the deliverer of the liquid that you're drinking. It's not the liquid itself. So whether you drink through a small straw, a big straw, a big straw, it's still the mechanism by which it's delivered. And that's what God is trying to show us in these verses. And if you want to go back to listen, you can listen to the other verses. But we read about the so-called fivefold ministry. It had two purposes: to edify, to grow, and to equip. Well, three purposes: edify, grow, and equip. Okay? And again, we can get caught up with apostles first, and then you get caught up in that. But you bypass the purpose.
Right.
Just that quick, you'll bypass the purpose. And so on, when Paul's doing this, it's easy to fall into, okay, see, it said this first, this second, this third, this fourth, and you get caught up into that. But you never, ever will humble yourself to understand, if you're not doing the purpose, how you know you got to give? If the straw got holes in it, it won't deliver what is needed to the person who's drinking from it, right?
Right.
And so many times what happens is we get caught up and we become porous, and the people that we're gifted to, the church that we're assigned to, can't get the gift because something in us, that thing called pride, swells up in us and it chokes the gift. Man. Wherever there's pride, there's a choking of the gift. To the point that we can see you got it, but you're so prideful with it. You think that you've earned the right, you deserve the right. But last time I checked, you were saved by grace like everybody else. And what Paul is doing, trying to make people understand that the gift is given by the one Holy Spirit, the unity of the body, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit have unified to give the church this gift so they can do the work of the ministry.
Amen.
The gift is not given for you to work the ministry. You're due to do the work of the ministry. The gift don't work for you. You work to give it to others. And I'm going to keep saying that till I start seeing a movement in the church and the movement in this body that you understand it ain't about you.
Amen. That's right. Amen. That's so true.
It's about everybody else but you.
That's true.
As you look around to each other, each one of you has a gift for this particular body. And you're supposed to give it away to the fullest, but you can't give it away if you don't walk in humility. Mm. You're too worried about what's my gift. And then you still ask, what's my purpose? And how many times I got to tell you, glorify God, edify the body. Why so hard? Because you want to, but you know what you're really asking? What show gift do I have that I can show people? And then in this passage, Jesus, the Holy Spirit says, let me tell you how this works.
For him, all gifts are equal. The gifts that are seen get the more honor. So if you're getting the show gift, honor gift, and that's your gift, remember this, there's a bigger gift for those who ain't being seen, who don't nobody know, who are praying for us, who are taking the time to mention their pastor in prayer or the saints in prayer. They never get any recognition, but God say, I give them more honor. Mm.
All right.
Because they're not looking to be prideful. Well, you say that's a heavy thing to say, Pastor. When you're the pastor, understand. First of all, he gave that position because that's what he decided to do. I didn't earn it. And then second of all, the burden that it takes is beyond my even worse imagination. But then the glory of the humility that it takes to carry it is better than I've ever experienced. Because one thing I know, to exercise my gift, I got to put my personal problems aside. So many of you got stuff going on in your life, like Steve just said. The guarantees, the wind gonna blow, the storm's gonna come. And we learned that all that is common. But when you use a commonality to stifle your gift, I got to even question whether you're saved or not. The reason why I got to question that is because if Jesus was mission focused, that's what he wants you to be. He don't care about you being rejected. He don't care what kind of relationship you got in your job with your boss or your wife and husband or brother and sister. If you are mission oriented to this body, there's something for you to do in spite of what you're going through.
That's right.
So when you are all into your fifis, as the young folks say, then you decide to deprive us because you're going through. How selfish is that? Jesus didn't say that when he was going through. He even understood what you would go through. He said, is there any way the church can go on without me and using my gift, you know, let take this cup from me. And he said, not my will, but let thy will be done. You want to want Jesus, you wonder what Jesus wants you to say when you're going through? Not my will, but let your will be done. And it's in that little bit of testing of, you know, you have things to do or you have things to do for the Lord, and you let everything of the world get in your way. Mm-hmm. And God looks at you and say, it's common. Mm-hmm. Just because some of us have learned not to wear our feelings on our sleeve don't mean we're not going through something.
That's right. That's
right. All we've learned to do for at least an hour and a half, lead the world out there. And bring the spirit in here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And if you start practicing that, you can do that at your house. Before you go in from a bad day at work, you can leave it in the car and go home and walk in your door of your personal sanctuary and say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
God is blessing, and I've heard good testimonies. And I'm telling you, God loves to bless the obedient.
Yes, he does.
What we've been learning on Saturday, and where we really honed in on Saturday yesterday, God equates love to obedience.
Yes.
Point blank and period. Yes. You don't get to equivocate. You don't need to talk about feelings. He say, if you love me, you will obey my commandments.
Yes.
And then he gave us two. He said, love me with all your heart, mind, body, and soul, which is the Shema of the Old Testament. And then he says, some people learn for the first time that love your neighbor as yourself is in Leviticus 2. Mm-hmm. Only when you're doing those two things can you be the conduit to which the Spirit of the Lord can move the gift that you have. You have to love God, and you got to love God's people. Some of you still playing that game with, I like you, but I don't. I have to love you, but I don't like you. You are being immature when you say that. Stop saying that.
Amen.
Baby saints say that.
Yes.
You mature saint. You ain't nothing crazy like that. You can come out your mouth no more. You should be beyond that. You wonder why God can't use you. It's because you're not maturing. The Bible says when I was a child, I did things like children. But once I became an adult, I put those things away. Put those little quibbity, hibbity, hibbity, bobbity, boo sayings away. They don't have no power. All it does is restrict the flow of the Holy Spirit through you. You grieve the Holy Spirit when you make excuses of why when he sent his son to die. And we do that. So you are not your gift. The gift is ministered to you. In chapter 12, we learned that the gift is out of the unity of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And now we're going to continue. We're plodding along real slowly. We're going to start at chapter 12, verse 7. And we're going to go down to 13. And we're going to concentrate today on 12 and 13. Amen? All right, Steve, go ahead.
1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good.
So in that there, y'all need to underline that. The only reason God gave it to you, and each one of you got it. He didn't say one left out, did he? He said to each, one purpose, summed up into one, the common good. Common problems, common good. You giving the gift for the common good. Common the gift to whom, you say, Pastor? The common gift of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Don't talk about you want to go out there and give out your gift before you give it in here. That's how you get Lone Ranger syndrome. I don't want to submit myself to a church. I'm the body of Christ. No, you're not. Don't be so foolish. Don't be so self-contained, self-absorbed that you think that you can't serve a local body, but you're going to serve out there in the open public. See, you're going to serve where a person ain't going to check you, where there's no accountability. So you tell them anything. I know a particular saint. They cuss and bless in the same sentence. In the literally the same sentence. And they brag on themselves. People love me to pray for them. People want me to do this for them. And I'm looking at them, I said, you are so lost, you don't even know it. You don't have no humility at all. You're very prideful. God has blessed you with a gift, and all you do is say you glorifying God, but you love when people glorify you.
Yeah.
You go out of your way to tell me how many people wanted you to pray for them today. See, I have to listen to them type of folk, because them type of folk are common too.
Right.
You know, and it ain't no aberration. Some of you may be walking around, and you're going to say it in front of me, I know. But you walk around, tell each other, you know, so-and-so, look what I done did. We're Jesus and I.
Amen.
Look what Jesus did through you.
Amen.
Give the glory to God who gave it to you.
Amen.
The source.
Yes.
You just a resource.
Yes.
If he can make a donkey talk, why you so special?
Amen.
If he make a rooster prophesy on Peter. When he crawled, he prophesied. Yep. Jesus said, when the rooster crowed, you're going to deny me, son. But when the rooster get crowed, you don't have to deny me three times. Before the rooster crowed, the rooster confirmed the message. Cock-a-doodle-doo. Peter done denied Jesus. Like I said, I'm going to develop a sermon when the rooster prophesies. But I'm trying to point out to you is we do get caught up in the sensationalism, but we see what the common good is. Go ahead, Steve. Verse 8.
For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues.
Okay, so we'll get caught up in all those gifts.
Yep.
The sensation of the gift. But what God wants you to focus on is, it's the one Spirit that administers all the gifts. It's the unity of the Spirit that gives the variety of gifts. You get a whole sermon about each gift. That's not the important part. The important part is to see the oneness of God that gives the variety of gifts for the oneness of the people. The oneness of God, variety of gifts for the unity of the people. Maybe that can hit home with Purdy and nobody else.
Amen.
The oneness of God, variety of gifts for the unity of the body.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
It's the unity of body that makes us so beautiful.
Yes.
That's right.
Because we come from different avenues of life. We got different hues of skin. We can have different languages and cultures. But there's only one Jesus that saved. And it's the unity of the cross and the salvation that makes us all equal. And it's the using of the gifts, understanding every gift and everybody who has a gift is important to God. And there's no big gift, no little gift. It's the gift for the unity of the body.
Thank you.
Y'all got to get this. Because it's vital to your maturity. And this may save your life. What I mean by that is, if you're carrying so much pride and you don't reach out to your brother and sister, God has placed them in your life to be a lifeline for God to you. Meaning that when you fall short, they can pick you up.
Amen. All right.
See, when you really understand your purpose, you're waiting for the day that they're going to slip up, fall up, mess up, do the wrong thing, and they can call you and you can understand what they've done because you've done, you fall short too. But today, you're strong. And you can say, come on, sister and brother, come on, Steve, get up. It ain't over. It's just part of it, it's just common. You can conquer that thing. We can conquer. You can't do it by yourself. I'm going to grab hold to you. And then I'm going to call Pastor Purdy. Pastor Purdy, start praying for Brother Steve. Then I'm going to call Michelle. Start praying for Brother Steve so we can conquer this thing. Because the Bible says, in the habits of the prayers of the righteous avail much.
Come on.
So it's the unity and the focus on the prayers of the saints towards a person, towards one of us that accomplishes God's will. So we get caught up in the hype and miss the simplicity of the unity. And that's common. That's part of our sinful nature. Our sinful nature is all about us. So we're trying to figure out, which one of these gifts do I have? The discernment of tongues, the speaking in diverse tongues. Oh, do I have the gift of healing? Don't worry about all that.
There it is.
Whatever you got, ask your question. Do you really want it to unify God's people? Do you want it to glorify yourself? You are not your gift. You are the conduit to which the gift is administered to other people. Go ahead, Steve.
11. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit.
There you go.
Who apportions to each one individually as he wills.
As he wills, not as you will.
Amen.
So you search for something that ain't got nothing to do with you. He gives you the gift as he wills. As he wills. What do you mean, Pastor? He gives the gifts according to what each body of local body needs. As he wills. He wants the body to be successful. So he has to say, well, they need a little of this, a little of that, or they need a little bit more of this. And he gives it to the people in that body for that purpose. Quit trying to look for your primary gift and just be a gift.
Amen.
Be willing to stand in wherever's needed.
That's right.
Thank you, Jesus.
If we need you to sweep the floor, sweep the floor.
That's right.
If we need you to pick up chairs, put up chairs. And I'm going to say this. Ladies, y'all are doing a fantastic job.
Thank you.
Thank you. Because sometimes we have different kind of meetings and trainings. The only people left here is me and the ladies. And there's things that need to be done. And you know what? There is no prodding. There is no begging. They just start doing it.
Amen.
They are being whatever's needed in the moment. And that's what we need to be. But you know, when I think back, brothers, Sisters have always been the one who pick up the ball when we drop it. That's nothing against you. It's just that if you think about it, Mama has always picked up the ball.
Yes, she
has. Mama has always made a way out of no way.
Yes, she
has. Mama's always saying they're going to be a brighter day.
Yes, come on. Yes.
Daddy just called it like a TIE. And you needed that. But Mama pulled you inside and said, even though it may be that, I done prayed for you and you going to come out of that. Yeah, you got to deal with the chastisement of your father from that. But guess what? I'm going to pray that you listen to him and come on out of that.
Amen. Amen.
And that's the way the church should be.
Thank you.
It's not over encouraging, but it's the discipline and obedience and the encouraging. They work together. Okay? They work together. So he administers this body to each one for the good of the body, for the commonness of the good of the body, as he wills. Like I was saying last week, don't take no more tests about your gift. You don't need to do that. Because think about this. Tests are meant to pass or fail, right?
Yes.
Or to measure success or being mediocre, right? What if you write what God wants you to do, but on the test you measure mediocre?
Mm-hmm.
Now you're discouraged.
Yeah. Yes.
Not because God didn't say that,
right.
Because the test done said that.
Mm-hmm.
No, don't let no man tell you nothing like that. Get in your head and be like, well, you know, I didn't score 100 out of 100, so I must. No. That ain't how that works. Just keep walking with God. It'll be evident. I said something the other day, and I really mean this from the bottom of my heart. As far as gifting is concerned, God has no problem communicating to his creation. When he wants to get something across, look through the Bible. He'll get it across. He ain't going to speak you no riddles or no rhymes. Matter of fact, it says in Hebrews that at this point in the time of dispensation, God is speaking through his son, Jesus Christ, which is the scriptures. Okay? So you're wondering, and God is being clear, but see, you declared that where it's not clear is that you want it your way. And that's what clogs up your gift. You're not saying, God, use me whatever way you want to use me. I want the show gift. I want to preach. I want to teach. Remember, saints, I'm going to tell you a little bit, just quickly, I didn't want to do none of this. I wasn't walking around talking about I want to do this. And what God did was slowly, if you look at our journey, he just slowly by every step.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he
did. I never asked anyone, could I preach at their church?
Amen.
Never. As the preacher's coming up, don't ever ask a senior pastor, can you preach at their church? Because if I find out about it, I'm going to sit you down.
Amen.
The Bible says, your gift will make room for you. Okay? Your gift will make room for you. So we see this. We see this gift. And now we're going into, go here, Speed.
Where 12.
To go? 12 and 13. Go.
For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit, we were all baptized into one body.
So when one spirit baptizes me, we're all identified into one body. And ain't talking about the water baptism. It's talking about the spirit baptism. You just read it. By one spirit, we were all baptized into one body. You got to get that oneness in your head. Don't sit there and think you ain't saved because you ain't been dunked yet. A lot of people get dunked and they don't even know this one spirit thing. Okay, anybody can do the ritual, but do they understand the depth of what the ritual means? So by one spirit, we are identified into Christ, just like we read in the beginning. They were all baptized unto Moses. They were identified with Moses and the law. We are identified with Jesus and the gospel of grace. We're baptized into this one spirit. Even when they was baptized into Moses, it still was the one spirit, because he said Jesus was the rock that followed them in the wilderness. So the same Jesus is now baptizing us into himself. You get that all through Ephesians. You get that all through Colossians. It's in Christ we are baptized. And when you are baptized into Christ and you believe as you should, your behavior will change. And that's how you can be obedient. Your want to change. So then he can give you the desires of your heart. Because your desires of heart, you want what he wants for you. So this oneness brings us to a Christ-like understanding. Let this oneness of Christ's mind be in you that's also in Christ Jesus. See, you ain't schizophrenic. You ain't all over the place. You are in the oneness of God. And you are submitting to the will of God by the word of God, living up to the light that you have. You can't live up to the light that you don't have or the light that you don't understand. You want to go to the next level and you ain't caught to finish your next level. You ain't for the level you had. You keep looking at everybody else. Just work with you and God on some things. We gonna come beside you to keep you going and motivated. But don't look at somebody else's gift or what you think they're doing so good and say, why can't I do that? Maybe God don't want you to do that. You ever thought of that? Maybe God got something you so unique for you that when you start working in your gift, somebody look at you and say, look at them. You too busy looking at them, looking at God using them. God is using them. And in the way God is using them for you to even admire them, that means they have to submit to God.
Amen.
Okay,
amen.
Go ahead, Steve.
Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, mm-hmm. and all were made to drink of one spirit.
Mm-hmm. And all were made to drink of one spirit. So Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, it shows the unity and not the division of society. Society say you're Jew. Society say you're Greek. Society say you're black. Society say you're white. Society say you're rich. Society say you're poor. Society say everything. Society is about breaking you down into pieces.
That's right.
Society is not about unifying you under Christ. So we all drink of the one spirit, and no matter who you are, you're going to be satisfied. And that's where I really want to go. See, when you're in Christ Jesus, you're drinking of that spiritual water is to satisfy you. Because you're thirsty for what is real, what is true, and what is one. Coca-Cola is not the one. Jesus Christ is. So when you drink of the spiritual water that he's talking about, you become satisfied. And when you become satisfied, you look for no other. When you're out trying to look for other things other than the living water of Christ to walk in, to nourish you, you end up doing all kind of different things. And you think that you're impressing God by doing these things. But God is saying, just drink of me. If you only knew who asked you to give them a drink of water, I would give you something that you'll never thirst again. It's not that the woman at the well and John chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. It's not that the woman did not want to ever thirst again and not need natural water for her natural body. What he's telling her, all that she's been looking for to alleviate all the pain that she's going through, the social rejection and the religious rejection and the understanding of who God is wrapped up in when he gives her this water. And he says, you won't thirst ever again. You know why? Because your thirst is going to be only for me. So it's not when you come to Christ, you're not going to thirst anymore. Yeah. You're going to thirst after what the world has. You're going to thirst after what God has for you. Yeah. And that will fill you up. Right. Let's see, read.
John 4, verse 10. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water?
Amen. Where does he get it? From the well of the Spirit. See, what she saw was a well, and she looked down the well, and maybe she cast a rock down the well, and it took some time to hear a splash. And she looking at him, she looking at the well, she's like, you ain't got nothing to draw with. At least I got a pot. Can you? So how you gonna give me this living water? See, when you're looking with your carnal eyes, you can only see carnal things. So the depth of the well was based upon her understanding of a carnal truth. But see, what God was trying to give her was a spiritual truth. The well to which I draw from is deep and shallow, meaning that it's easy to get to, but it's as deep as it needs to be for whoever it needs to be for. Yeah. See, you might need 4 foot of water. I might need 6. Somebody else will need 2. Jesus don't say, you got to go deep. He says, just come. Jesus. And you can get this living water. You see, you're trying to tell people that it's so deep, but yeah, it is deep. It's beyond. You can't see how deep the God is. You can't see how high he is. You can't see how wide he is. But see, the key is you tell them, don't make no difference where you're at. Just come. Come and receive the living water. Because he'll lay you down beside a pure, driven, calm stream of life. She was looking carnal. He was saying, if you only knew what I was trying to give you, if you only knew who you was talking to, you would ask me to give you what you can't get yourself. And instead of thinking and seeing that, he had to break it down to her. And once she got the truth and the light came on and the scales fell from her eyes. She said, well then who are you? He basically tells her, I'm who you've been looking for. And with that, she left her carnal water pot there with Jesus and ran off into the village to tell everybody that she met a man and drank from his well. And they looked at her and said, where's your pot if you drink from his well? She said, I'm not talking about that kind of water. I'm talking about the water that will satisfy you. Well, you still need a pot, don't you? No, I'm saying you don't need a pot when you come to Jesus. You just need to come to the well. So you want to see, well, Pastor, how you would equate that to the gift? The people are coming to drink from you. You are the container of the gift. You got to be ready, equipped, mature, be willing to exercise whatever they need. If they need a word from God, go to the word of God.
That's right.
You ain't got to make something up in your head.
That's right.
You want to say, thus said the Lord? You got 66 books to thus said the Lord. You ain't got to make nothing up in your head. Coming to you. But can you say that you are ready for someone to drink from you? Can you say your purpose and your motive for them drinking from you was pure? That's honorable? That's only for them? That you want to pour out in them because you know God will always pour into you for them?
Amen.
Are you willing to put real personal problems aside when somebody comes, the saint needs you to pray for them? And you going about your day, and they came to you to drink from your well. Because they perceive that you may have what they need in the moment. And God don't send them to you unless he know that you got it. Now the test is on you. Or you going to be smart enough and mature enough to set your things aside and do what God has called you to do.
Amen.
Because the storms will come. The winds will blow. It's all coming. But the test is, are you going to stand on the rock? The test is going to be, are you going to be the gift to that person that they need? Are you going to minister to them what God has given you? You don't need to know everything, but you should know something.
Yes, sir.
Whatever light you have, give it to them. Whatever prayer you pray for them. And if you can be an assistance to them, you give them your knowledge. You want to speak a word of wisdom into their life? Speak a word of wisdom. If they come to you for a word of wisdom, y'all shouldn't be saying, let's call a pastor. You just sat up here and got enough teaching. And the book of wisdom is the Proverbs. Pick one. If you want to pick one by sub, just Google it. Google tell you, Google smart, Google saved. Y'all know that, right? Google tell you anything you want about this Bible. Praise God. For the lazy folk, all you got to do is Google it. Amen. But I just hope that you guys understand, really, because I'm pretty much done. Y'all can go camp right now in John chapter 7, verse, 37 and 38. Just hold that, put a pen in that. People are thirsty. There's people thirsty inside John chapter 7, verse 37 and 38, okay? People are thirsty.
Yeah.
People are thirsty for what you have or what you say you have. Quit worrying about which category the gift fall into. Just give out what is needed. Mm-hmm. If it's to preach, preach. If it's to listen, listen. If it's to give a kind word, give a kind word. Yes. If it's to give them a drink of water, give them. If you go out, they hungry, feed them. If they need a shirt, clothe them. And as you practice these things in here, the Bible says they will know that you are my disciples. Y'all not followers no more. Right. Followers can follow afar off. Students are close. Students have intimate interaction with the teachers. They're close. He said, you know that you are my disciples. By one thing, the way you love each other. And if he said love is obedience to what he says, so you demonstrate your love by how obedient you are to the life that you have that you share with somebody else. Until you're willing to do that, I don't think you might be playing a religious game in your own head. You might be playing that religious game in your head. You did that. And again, Paul started off as, I don't want you to be unaware, saints. You want to show me you're growing? How much are you giving? And before some immature person say, he talking about money. I ain't saying nothing about no money. Only an immature heathen with gold. If your mind went there, you got some maturing to do. Especially if you build up in this church. Now, if you knew, I get it. I ain't talking about no money, y'all. We've been talking about spiritual gifts.
Yeah, man.
Stay in context. I've been talking about spiritual gifts. One, you are not your gift. You are the conduit for the gift. Two, your gift is for everybody else except for you. Three, God gives you the gift, so don't take no pride. Can you just do that? Can you worry about somebody else other than yourself for a minute? And be the gift God has called you to be to the body? And some get a lot of attention when they complain. I get it. Because when you stop complaining and start walking in victory, you're going to help be held accountable for the victory. But guess what? They'll talk about you even more when you walk in victory.
Yes, you will.
They'll talk about you even more. They'll be like, I know stuff going on in their life. They told me what was going on. But look at them. They're going to still come serve. They're going to still look after the saints. They still going to do what God has called them to do. They're not going to let death, life, nothing separate them from the mission of the love of God. He said, nothing shall separate you from my love. So what he meant by love is obedience. Nothing shall separate you from his love that is demonstrated by you in his obedience. Yes. He said, neither death nor life will separate you from him. Don't let that separate you from him. All those things, he said, will not separate me from you. So don't you let those things separate you from him.
Amen. Amen.
Mama died, I get it. Papa died, I get it. Granny died, I get it.
Yes.
You're going through illness, I get it. Financial trouble, I get it. But why are you going to separate from the church? The one place you should come and get some feeling from. Why you gonna walk away? Well, you know, and y'all know how this is coming. You know what I'm going through. Okay. And you know, The next word is always this word. What word y'all think that is next after? You know what I'm going through.
But
and what else? I, and what's the next word?
No.
No, not no. What's the other word?
Think.
I feel.
I feel.
I'm going through, and I feel. And every time a saint told me what they feel, they about to tell me how they gonna step away. Because it's too much for them to handle and come before the saints of God. And I, in my mind, when that kind of stuff comes to me, I be wondering like, well, nobody will know it if you come in praising God. Nobody would pay attention to it if you go ahead and turn that frown upside down. Maybe the deliverance from the thing you're going through is wrapped up in your obedience to the love of God. He say, be committed to the thing he told you to be committed to in spite of what you're going through. Maybe I'm crazy, because that's how I think. Anybody that know me, I lost my mama and my daddy. I never stopped preaching. I never stopped teaching. I didn't miss a day. Because I honored my parents. By they were the kind of parents that said, no matter what happened, you honor me by going forward.
Amen.
You don't honor me by sitting here for 50 days talking about, oh, well, mom, miss my mama. I miss my daddy. Knowing dad gone well, you ain't had lunch with him in a whole year.
Come on.
You ready, had all this pity party, and we checked the record, you ain't talked to him in 6 months.
Wow.
And now you all emotional. Thank you. But God wants you to understand he loves you. It doesn't matter what you go through. And he wants you to continue to be a blessing to the saints no matter what you go through. Because what he went through to give you this is death itself. He was raised for your justification.
Yes.
So you can walk and have a knowledge of the power of the resurrection. The power of the resurrection rides you above all humanity and whatever humanity is going through at any given time. You can soar above it if you really believe it, because your behavior would be towards Jesus.
Yes.
See, the issue with most saints is, and their obedience is, this ain't right. This ain't right. This ain't right. This ain't right. This, your praise ain't right. You praising this way, horizontal. You not praising and worshiping vertical. The Bible says the men need to lift their holy hands, but the men like this. That's why y'all riding on coattails of y'all wives and y'all girlfriends. I mean, if I'm wrong, somebody correct me. Y'all too cool. But let you need some, let you be in that hospital, you be trying to, baby, can you tell the church pray for me?
That's true. So true.
Don't let God break you down and make you lift your hands.
Amen.
Men and women. But it's something about the sisters of the fact that they have the baby. And they understand, no matter where they're at in life, that their source is God. And they know lifting the holy hands, whether you are male or female, whether you are Jew or Greek, black or white, it God pay attention to those who can lift their hand.
Hallelujah.
Can lift their voice.
Yes.
Can say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. No matter what I'm going through, I'm going to say, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to say, you know what? I'm not going to wait for you to praise him. I'm going to go praise him. Because guess what? He is in me. He is giving me his living water. And then when Jesus said in John 7:37, there was this big feast. And it was at the end of the feast. And they would do the libations thing. And they had a whole bunch of pots of water. And they would pour it out as an example to God pouring out his blessing. And in 7:37, Jesus stands up and says, come unto me, all ye who thirst.
Yeah.
What you mean, Jesus? Come unto me, all ye who thirst. I'm talking about the same thing that I was telling the woman at the well about.
Mm-hmm.
If you understood who stood before you, you come to me. You wouldn't be lifting your hands to a religious system. You'd be lifting your hands to me.
Yeah.
And if you lift your hands to me and come receive the water I have, he said, I will give you this living water. And out of your belly shall flow the rivers of living water. If it's flowing out of you, it has to be for somebody else. Let it flow. Be obedient to what you know. Learn more God. Love God. Love God's people. Love God's word. So out of your belly can flow rivers of living water. I'm not going to concentrate, just to let you know, I'm not going to concentrate on the specifics of any gift. You come to Bible study, get that. Because I know somebody get caught up. We head towards the tongue thing. I'm not going to even address that no more. Because see, what happens is you get so blinded by these things that you're not looking at the purpose for these things.
Yes.
That's why Paul says at the end of chapter 12, I need, with all this that I say, I know you're going to get sensationalized by, but I need to show you a more excellent way. I need to show you a more excellent way. And guess what the excellent way starts with? Love. Sacrificial humility towards somebody else. And then and only then can God fully pour into you to pour out to somebody else. Think about it. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your people. Lord, open us up. Open our hearts up. Let us be more pliable to what you were saying to us. And let us not be so self-centered. Let us understand no matter what we go through, Lord, it is to test us to see if we're going to stay on point and on mission to do what you have called us to do, to be a blessing to the body so therefore we can be a blessing to the world. Lord, we want to show them that we are peculiar people. Somebody might say we're crazy folk. But even Paul said, for the sake of you, I'll become a fool. And Lord, they think it's foolish, but we know it's the power of the resurrection. They think it's silly. We know that it's the smartest thing that we can do. Follow you to the utmost because you loved us to the uttermost. You gave your life for us that we may walk upright before all men. You gave your life for us that we can have an eternal life with you. Lord, as you prepare our table before our enemies, Lord, let us be willing to say, Lord, thank you. But you know what, Lord? Can we give our enemies something too?
Yes, Lord.
And the Lord will probably smile and say, that's my son, that's my daughter.
Yes.
Where they have the right to sit here, but we'll trade in our rights for the privilege to serve somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So Lord, let this mind be in us, as also in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We always want you to be encouraged, blessed, and at peace, and do what?
Walk in truth.
Amen. Any questions?
Thank you for tuning in to the Walk in Truth Christian Fellowship Church broadcast on the WITRN network. Come join us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time for Sunday worship. Bible study is held on Tuesdays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. We are located at 3006 North Lindbergh Boulevard, Suite 711, St. Louis, Missouri, 63074. All are welcome, and we look forward to seeing you soon.